Here is where we talk with professionals who are devoting their lives to help those children and their families. The topic today is children of unbalanced marriages. And the guest today is Helen Chen. Helen Chen is a matchmaker, and she's the best-selling author of The Matchmaker of the Century, written about 20 other books. I'm impressed. She's an expert in marriage, has been seen on NBC, CBS, Fox, and ABC, and is an international speaker. Helen is also a facilitator of workshops presented worldwide on topics related to marriage and family matters. Today, we'll be talking about the children of some of those marriages that don't work so well, that are sort of unbalanced. Working in schools for struggling teens, residential schools for struggling teens, we see a lot of parents, a lot of situations in families where the parents are unbalanced, either the hard-charging, working parents that don't have time for the children, or there's a very messy, hostile divorce that the children are trying to wed their way through. So, Helen, would you start off, what is the balance? What is the balance, a good, balanced life for parents?
Well, it's very important about the children. They know they be cared and loved. And then the parents also need to have a very good communication with the children so they know, you know, they are family, they are together, and then they love each other. I'm thinking that was the base foundation. Most important, they are in communication, and then they know they love each other. It's not that much of time or the money or whatever the other element, but the most important, the children need the security. They need to know parents are there, and then they need to know they be loved. And I'm thinking that is the most important things to start the balance to making everything possible for mentally and spiritually.
So they need to talk. They need to talk truthfully and honestly to each other. That's just very simply basic.
Yes, it's like people need to be, you know there's always have a communication line there. It's like they can reach the parents. Not like all of a sudden somebody disappear and then, you know, don't know and then don't know what's going on. You always explain to the children, although they're small, yes, something you might be thinking they don't know. But still, if you explain to them and talking to them in a very nice way, they supposed to understand. And be surprised enough, they just body small, but actually, mentally, they're actually very mature. They do really know you love them or not, you're there or not. So try to communicate with your children as much as possible to let them understand what you know. It's the most safe way.
Okay. Well, what are some of the ways parents' lives can go out of balance? You know, divorce would be a possibility, but sometimes there's secrets
right,
or things like that. So what are the various ways that things that come to mind that where it can get out of balance and cause some problems or the children have to wrestle with some problems?
It's a lot of time parents are fighting or they are not love each other or they have a love affair and then they don't come home or the you know, they kind of cheat each other and then they don't want the children to know or they start to, you know, have some other financial or the working difficulty or situation and then they're not honest to their children, no, because they believe they are not part of family or they're not supposed to know because they're too young. That itself can make the children feel very bad about being cheated, not be trusted, and then they are not taking responsibility, they are not part of family. And because the parents are not really in communication with the children, make them feel like they are not wanted. And that was the worst things that can be happen to the children, like they are not wanted the child. So they become very difficult for other people also.
Okay, so it comes down to the children aren't communicated with, they don't feel wanted, or they suspect that they're wanted. And that's the sort of the crux of all the other problems that come out of it, right?
Right. You know, like when the baby time, when mom pregnant, you know, if the mom keep going thinking about abortion, they're actually hurting children, you know. And then after it comes out, and then my parents are kind of like, well, you are not wanting the children. Or like, well, I actually didn't plan well to have you with your father. And then, unfortunately, you come. You know, something like that. And then, you know, just that's very terrible beginning. But at the end, the children feel like they are not wanted, and then the parents promise to come the weekend to visit them, or that they didn't. Or like, okay, you know, they're talking about, oh, I will celebrate your birthday, and then they disappear, you know. This type of things making the balance really, really terrible. Not because you love them every day or you support them and something like that. It's very much about you keep your promise. Because you tell the children, you know, I'm going to take you in the weekend or I'm going to visit you. But then parents did not show up, you know, especially your divorced parents. It's not a problem parents divorce or is a single parents that you are making the children difficult. No, it's not. If you tell them very nicely what's going on and what happened and what's the deal and what's the rule you guys going to do in, as a family. Children will be okay. But the most out of balance is because they feel not wanted, and then they feel be cheated, and then they feel like they are not part of family, and then they are not joined for the family meeting or taking the responsibility or something they can say that be heard, you know. Basically not be cared, and that the balance once threw off, the children difficult and family become very difficult, and also they become a difficult child in school, and that become a society problem.
Yeah, that's a thing that happens where I get involved and my colleagues get involved, and their teenagers especially, that things will go apart. Well, and from what's your experience in working with some of these families, and I presume you've seen a lot of different variations that can happen. As you see it, what happens to the children when the parents can't balance their lives, they don't feel wanted? What are some of the things you've seen that's happened?
Well, when the parents didn't control themselves well, and children will be really developed in a certain way. For example, like, you know, parents don't come home, or like they don't cook for them, or they don't really see the parents at all, and then they cannot reach the parents. They don't know where the mom is, or like a mom never have a time, or father never want to talk to children. The children will play another game themselves. They will go out and then they start to meet the friends because they're lonely, because they want to looking for somebody to care. They will try to kind of like a start a relationship earlier or like a meet the friends, and there's a lot of chance they don't really get help. They may be mature earlier to a certain way, but still they're going to feel in their heart they are in pain, and then they're not happy. So they go out of family, and then they do something, you know, whatever, out of control. And family also, later on, they try to communicate with the children. They find out they are not listening. So it's like sometimes the parents try to educate children, but then they find out they don't really talk to them or ignore the parents or disrespect. It's all because in the beginning of these things happen, parents are already out of balance. And after that balance are out, then the children is come back, bouncing back in the parents' face. So the whole family become like, you know, jammed and then jump and then there's a problem. And then you cannot really fix it. It's because they already don't have a good communication to each other. So it's not that much of a quantity time together. It's very much of the quality of the time you guys share.
Well, what we see when you see a teenager acting out and causing problems, it sounds like the problem started really way back when, 10, 15 years before, and then it just sort of build up, and all of a sudden it booms. Like I've seen a lot of kids, 7th grade, 8th grade, all of a sudden explodes. Kids was doing pretty good, and then all of a sudden explodes. And I think what you're suggesting is the roots of that are way back before the acting out occurred.
Exactly. It's like you cannot say like, oh, now the problem is now. No, it's not this month. There's the things that happened last year or year before or even earlier. So it's not like today or like last week, you know, oh, all of a sudden children gets very difficult or some situation happens or somebody fighting or something. It's always earlier. So it's better, I suggest to the parents, you need to watching about your relationship between, you know, the both, your spouse and wife and husband relationship to be very making the family stable. This is affecting the children rest of their life, even in the future marriage life of the children, because the parents don't really doing the good marriage for the parents, you know, it's like a set a good example, we say. It's like parents don't set a good example for children, so they will feel worse on the marriage. So then in the future, they might be don't want to marry, or when they marry, they kind of feel more in the sad side. You know, they didn't really have an optimistic feeling about the marriage at all. And then they're making the society have a more divorce rate, making the society has more separate and family and people don't want to have a good relationship, but they are not really honest. It was affecting this, like we keep going talking about the divorcing rate, you know, now so high, or like people have a less delivered children ratio. This is all because this family, like we're talking about our balance, and then develop after 10, 20 years later on, you know, people more easy to divorce, and then they're raising terrible children afterwards because it's like more difficult, more difficult.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it comes down to there's not the good communication, and then the consequence that the children don't feel wanted, and they're looking all the wrong places for it. I presume that would be one of the reasons some surprising kids join gangs.
Yes, It's like they try to get drug, and then they have a bad time, and then some people invite them for the smoking and drinking, and then, you know, it was still okay smoking and drinking, but then they started getting the drug, and some of them get depressed, and then they get into some other drug, you know, and then because of they have this type of a bad mood, so they get into the disorder eating. They eat too much chips. They start eating some junk, because a lot of time, these type of children sometimes don't really have that much money, so they eat a lot of bad food. And it just gets worse and worse, and then they try to lose weight. And then when they try to lose weight, they get into some kind of a different drugs. And then, you know, all kinds of medical drug or the actually street drug, it's just more chance for this type of people. And the reason, not because they are bad people, the reason is because they are sad. When people in the bad mood, when people, you know, upset, they tend to do something more crazy and stupid. So that is not because they are stupid in the way of a low IQ. They are very good kids, like you just say. You know, they're doing very good in the school and everything. They are smart kids. They are good kids. But when one man are sad, when people in the bad mood, they do something crazy. And once they do it, they start drinking, they start over drinking because, you know, teenagers, they have a young body, they have a healthy body. You know, they can tolerate a lot. You know, they're drinking a lot of beer or something because the body is younger, they can take it. They didn't know. But then once after they do this for a few years, well, then the body decay and then they become not so strong and then they grow up as
all hello.
They have a fat.
Hello, Helen?
Yeah. Hello?
Yeah, there you are. You disappeared.
Yeah, really. I was talking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, now
okay.
You can hear me.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah,
oh, go
I'm
ahead.
Talking well, about I'm talking about when they have a bad mood, so they're going to drinking the beer or something, and then once they used to that kind of life after 2-3 years, their life just decay, and then their healthy become terrible situation when they grow up. So it's like affecting them after they're taking drug and then the bad mood making them, you know, smoking over, because when you're young, right, you didn't know your body situation, then you kind of strong enough because you're young body, and then you're just taking too much smoke and too much drinking. All these type of things is really, really terrible. So it's like all the time happen because their life is out of balance because they're in a bad mood. So children are more tends to be smoke and drinking and have that kind of situation happen if a family not really keeping them happy and then, you know, watching them and taking care of them.
Okay. Well, it sounds like unbalanced, or parents with lives out of balance tend to raise kids whose lives one way or another are out of balance. Is that a fair generalization?
Yeah, definitely influence, because the parents is how children learn. You see, all we, how we learn love, how we learn the family, we learn from parents. You see, fortunately, unfortunately, this is how the society all about. It's about family. We have to have this ground basic of come from the family. So how one learn how to love the other person, we learn from parents. We learn how to have a relationship, we learn from parents. How do we talk to people, you know, if our family has a good education or not? Are we polite to people? Are we care for the people? It's all learned from parents. It's learned from family, like the grandfather, grandmom. So it's very important to have a balanced family to start with, to making the children have a great future and great relationship.
Okay, well, let's go into, you know, what can parents do to help their children? And maybe from some of your experiences, because as a matchmaker, as working and trying to develop, helping people develop balanced marriages, what are some of the things they can do as a preventive, the important things that they can do when they're just starting out their lives as parents, that when the children arrive, what do they start doing in order to ensure that the children will be balanced also? Like, let's talk about a specific. Parents have spent a lot of time at work. How do they balance a family life? What do they need to do to prevent future problems?
When the parents, they come to this family life, have a children. Once they start pregnant, they need to watch about their health. They need to very much eat the well food. They need to really making sure mom is healthy, father is healthy, so they have the healthy baby. And then after children grow up, in the eating part, then you really need to watch out. Because if you're making the children eat a lot of junk food, a lot of sugar, a lot of Coke, and a lot of sweets, you know, they are tends to be more out of balance in the body, and they're affecting people spiritually. So it's very important about children's food. Children have to eat a good protein. Children don't eat too much sugar. That kind of things when they was kids, you know, parents have to really care about this. And then after this one, you know, if you're busy, it's okay. You have a nanny, you have everything, you know, taking care of grandparents or whatever. But the important part is you always talking to your children, you know, maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day if you are very busy. But you still talk to them. And then you let them know you care about them, you love them. And you need to let the children know how to reach you. You know, so sometimes they call you, they have some problem, or like every day, or even at the least, you need to give them once a day, like a weekend, you talk to children. You let them know what is life all about, and what is their job, and what is your job. You are making money, what do you do? And then they need to study, or they play, or children's job is grow up, and then eat well, and you need to talk to them. So I'm thinking it's very simple. It's as long as you're talking to children. But unfortunately, a lot of parents just like brush the children off. They're thinking about it too small, they don't understand, or they will grow up naturally, or like they just don't care or don't bother to talking to the children. And that really, really affecting their life, because making children feel very terrible.
So even if in work, even if they have to travel a lot in their work, the talking to the kids is important, and that might even be, is better than nothing would be to call and talk to them every evening. Right?
Yes, you can call and you can even write if the children can read. But if at the beginning, you know, you need to, you know, let them know, you know, daddy is in where and then what happened, daddy is missing you, or mommy is working and then mommy call you in the when and what time. You need to actually keep the promise. And I'm thinking this is the part parents themselves should discipline. You know, children is very, very important. You know, they are expecting you. They want that the mommy and daddy. It's beautiful. You know, it's natural. You know, parents are loved by children. You know, this is the easiest thing happen. You know, it's like you don't need to do anything because you are the mom. They just love you. Your father, kids just miss you. You know, all the children just love parents. This is natural. So it's very beauty. You know, parents don't need to particularly do anything for the children to love you. They naturally love you. So if you call and say, this is daddy, this mommy, you know, children is expecting. So it's very important for the parents to discipline yourself. Write down your schedule. No matter where you are, how difficult for you, maintain the communication with children. And after they can read and write, do write them. You know, I really thinking about, especially now, you know, the computer, everything is so easy. You should always write your children, you know, and then let them know, and then let them feel you are there to communicate. And as long as the children know the parents communicate with them, then in the future, no matter what kind of disaster happens, you know, you stay in communication. You could understand each other. And then we're making the balance, if out, can easily work back.
Okay, check number one in preparing for a balanced marriage. Talk to the kids every day, right?
Yeah. Very
mm-hmm.
good.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, marriages have their rough spots periodically, and a husband and wife might have a bad relationship or argue or something. How can they, what should they do to protect the children from it? Or just some general advice on when the marriage gets into a rough spot. What do you do to help the kids?
Well, when the parents, you know, unfortunately sometimes fight, and even worse, right, like a broken something or hitting each other or something, you know, you don't really, like, of course the best that don't let children see this type of thing, but in case if the children's there, you need to spend time with the children, talk over about this. So a lot of time parents maybe talk about it, but they're not talking enough. If you really, you know, hurting children or making them feel sad or scare them or make them cry or make them worry, right? It's okay. These things happen, but you could save it by talking to them until they feel okay. And this may be 3 hours, maybe 5 hours, you know, maybe a few times. But I'm thinking the problem is not we cannot fix it. The problem is the parents just ignore them or not confronting this problem. Don't want to really, really fix it. As long as you're talking to children long enough, children will be feel much, much okay. You know, the more hours and then you're talking to the children over and see if anything they still consider or they are not okay. All the things is that, you know, the universal of solving things is like using the talking. So you're talking to the children and then know what they feel. You know, I have one of the single family mom, you know, and she's like asking the children, like, well, do you feel okay, you know, I'm divorced, you know. And then children will talk about, oh, yeah, you know, I feel this, I feel that, I don't mind, or I care. You know, children will talk as long as the parents invite a conversation. Then you talking over to the children, what do you think? And you also, them judging you, you know, talking to them like a friend. And then children can talk about how they feel, how they think, and you could answer their question. So it's very important about you keep going through this back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, until children feel okay. And I'm thinking the most problem, the out of balance, is because the parents ignore this type of a children's thinking, or like invalidate what children think, or tell them, oh, you're too small, you don't understand, or like, well, you just don't mind my business, or like, well, you shut up, you're too little to talk about this, or like, oh, you don't judge me, or something, you know. And then, mm-hmm. because of this type of attitude, children become yell you back, children become protest, they become very difficult, and because the parents don't want to listen to what they think. And I'm thinking you need to let the children have the chance to experience, to talk, to express what their feeling is, you know. So that's difficult for parents, but I'm thinking it's very important to, if you really want to face it, want to fix it, you need to talk to the children about what they think.
And no secrets. I think that's one of the worst things that I see is when families have secrets. And that's the talking would get rid of or reduce the secrets. Because a secret, then the kid can imagine the worst. And that's probably the worst thing that could happen, do you think?
Yeah. It's like you don't let them. And then they start to threaten you, or they start to yell at you, or they put you back. And that's why sometimes you hear the children talking the dirty words to parents or disrespectful words. You know, the reason that happened is because children don't let them, the parents don't let the children talk. So if you yell at the children and then you tell them, you're too small, or don't mind my business, and you shut up, or like, you know, you're wrong, or you say this is stupid, or whatever. You know, when you go into this type of angry mood, or like an antagonistic feeling to the children, then you were expecting very soon they yell you back. So it's not good. It's not a happy thing at all. So sometimes we were so wondering why the children become nasty, or they say the dirty words, or they so disrespectful, you know, to the people, or especially their parents. It's because the parents really don't give them enough space. You need to respect. You need to respect your children. You need to let them earn your respect yourself. You know, it's like that. It's very important you earn your respect as parents. You don't just say, hey, I'm your mom. You know, don't say this to me. Okay, I already just say, hey, I'm your father. You know, then you don't do this. No, you don't earn your position like a parents, as a father, as a mother, because you are one. You have to earn to them to love you or respect you because you earn this respect. So it's very important for adults to understand this also. You know, it's very important we educate the parents, probably more important than educate the children.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the worst phrases I've ever heard, that and it always irritated me when I was a kid, is you do that because I said so. That doesn't cut it very well.
That definitely don't go well.
Doesn't go well. And yeah, and what you're saying is that if you don't listen to the kid, they'll up the volume until you do hear them.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't want to shouting.
How do you love a child without spoiling the child or creating a sense of entitlement?
Yeah, very important about different between the spoil and love. You see, when you love children, is you make them feel comfortable, and you let them know they are be cared, and then they are wanted, and then you really, really want to them to do the best. That is called love. You know, you make them feel interesting, and then like it, and comfortable. This is love. What is this spoil all about? Actually, per definition, is when you need to educate them, you deserve. That's called spoil. For example, when children do something wrong, or when they do something it's not okay and it's bad, and parents try to spoil, what it means is they don't correct them. They just let them do whatever they want to, because they're thinking, oh, okay, you know, you're small, or like, oh, I love you, so I let you do something bad. That is called spoil. And that was, by definition, you don't spoil children. You have to love them, but you are not equal to spoil them. Spoil is a very bad thing, because when once you spoil the children, when they grow up, they cannot experience the things they supposed to experience. For example, like, you know, sometimes they separate, you know, for example, boyfriend, girlfriend separate. And some girl will be so naive and then, you know, want to suicide or want to kill somebody because they are spoiled kids. And what happened to them is because when they were small, parents let them do something they're not supposed to do, and then they accepted to do it. So after they grow up, they become like, well, violate the law, and then, you know, don't want to respect other people because their parents allow them to do this. So it's very important for the parents to understand where is the line of spoil. Spoil is come from when you need to discipline the children, when you need to educate them, you didn't do it. For example, like, okay, you don't want to do homework, don't do it. You know, you want to drink alcohol, I let you drink it. You know, you're only 8 years old, but then, you know, if you want it, I don't say no because I'm your mom. I love you. That's wrong. You need to teach children what it should be. And when coming to the discipline, coming to the ethic teaching, coming to the, you know, respect people and have a type of a cleanness, like you need to clean your room, you need to clean your hand. These type of things, you don't want to be like, okay, do whatever you want to. Then you will spoil the kids. So it's like, okay, you finish the sugar now. You know, you have enough of the cake. You don't want to eat a whole cake, you know. But sometimes when the parents, like, spoil children, like, okay, eat whatever you want to. And then they become the eating disorder instead of a discipline to understand where is the line. So what happens to the spoiled children is because parents do not discipline the children when they should be disciplined. This is different because this comes to education point. Because lazy, because thinking they're so cute, because the children were so, you know, irresistible. It's like, well, you cannot tell them no. And because of a weakness of the adults, making the children become be spoiled. Because the children themselves do not want to be spoiled.
No, they don't. Have you heard the term helicopter parents?
Not really. What does that mean?
Oh, it's we hear quite a bit. Helicopter parents is when to make sure the child doesn't fail. They will help them with their essays. They'll help them with their homework. If somebody gives them a bad time, they'll come out and try to punish it. If the school flunks a kid, they'll come in and demand that the grade be changed because that's not fair. They really interfere. And one of the problems to point it out, the child doesn't have a chance to make decisions on their own because the parents are making it. And colleges now are complaining about that. So that's a helicopter parent. So what's your comments on that?
Well, that's really, 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 really fit the definition we just say called a spoiled children, because they're making the children feel they be overprotected. So the children thinking they are godlike, you know, anything happen, my mom will fix it. My father will fix it. And then they thinking they are like a king, you know, somebody else will fix the everything for them. And then they become so spoiled. They become go out naive and then be whatever they want to, because the back of them, there's a parents to helping them on everything. But which time when it comes to it's wrong, then they really, really, they have a problem in their life. And these type of parents are really, really naive. They're not really mature. They love their children, but in the wrong way, because they making their children have a problem with society and with others. And that kind of protection is what we don't want. And I think in this part, we need to educate the parents, because they're making their children's life more difficult, not easier. It's just terrible. You thinking you love your children, but you spoil them. Once you spoil them, in the future, they have all the difficulty in school and in the society and in their marriage and in the future with their relationship with others.
Okay. Well, helicopter parents is becoming a phenomenon with a lot of talk about. I even heard about snowplow parents or bulldozer parents. They get so aggressive in protecting their children. You're right. It's exactly overprotection. Well, we have to take a break for a quick minute. We're talking to Helen Chin. She's the topic is Children of Unbalanced Marriages, and she's matchmaker and has a business in both Asia and in North America and does speeches around the world. But we'll be back with Helen Chin in just 1 minute. Raising children is a tough job. The job is even harder due to all the distractions, temptations, and dangers facing teens and their parents in our modern age. Some of these children are especially challenging and make such poor decisions as teens that their parents fear for their child's safety and future. I'm Lon Woodbury, and as an independent educational consultant, in my 22 years of practice as Woodbury Reports, we have worked to help hundreds of parents individually throughout the country who fear for their child's future. We also have an extensive website, strugglingteens.com, that provides as much objective information as we can to help parents. And we produce an LA Talk radio show interviewing leading professionals who are helping parents right after Answers for the Family. If you have a child whose decisions make their future in doubt and you are looking for help, you can call me at 208-267-5000. 5550, and I'll be glad to try to help you. Or check my website, strugglingteens, that's one word, .com. Welcome back. This is Lon Woodbury with Parent Choices for Struggling Teens. We're talking with Helen Chen, Matchmaker of the Century is her latest book. And we've been talking about families and parents and how can parents help their children. We just talked about the helicopter parents and how that's overprotection. So how do you instill, now we're talking in terms of maybe talking with a newlywed and anticipating their future and children, how do you encourage them to start from the get-go, instill responsibility in children? What would be your advice, Helen?
It's very important to train people, train children to have responsibilities since they was kids. And what we're going to do is every time you have a little task for them to do, from very small, you have the task for them to, for example, responsible for their table or their paints or, you know, kind of a small area for them to do the cleaning, to keep it nice, neat and clean, or wipe out something or wash dishes, that kind of things. You have a little task for children and have some area you assign the responsibility for them. And one more and more, and then bigger and bigger for them to start taking care of more and more area. I think the most important thing is the parents need to let the children work. It's a lot of time mom does everything. You know, mom do the laundry, mom do the cooking, and father do the garbage and everything. It's more important to train children to do and share this type of responsibility and enjoy it. So it's very important for them to, you know, since they were small, children like to help. Let them help and then let them become steady, stable job for them to do, to share in family. So it's a very good for the children always helping the parents do things instead of doing nothing and everything parents take care. I don't know about in America family, you know, how much children share this type of things. But I watch out in the Oriental family, very, very much mom does all. So the children even don't know how to wipe the carpet and clean the floor, and they don't do the wash dishes, you know, that kind of thing. And once this happens, not every family, but once this happens, the children is grow up and become less responsibility. Like everything, oh, ask my mom, everything, oh, my father will take care. They don't do all this type of little work, like, cooking and cleaning and share the family garbage taking care of and all the kind of things. And once this happens, when they grow up, very terrible. They become less and less responsibility. They only care about their computer and iPhone and not anything else. And this is really bad, especially for a lot of family. They have we call maid, you know, in this Asia family. A lot of family has a maid, especially the rich people. And this type of situation happens. The children don't need to do anything. And everything served by others. And after grow up, this become a problem for society too, because they very much don't want to do anything for you, and then they very much want you to service them. So that is really a problem.
And that doesn't work. That doesn't work very well in the world I live in.
Yeah, they're very terrible, because now they become fighting, like, why you didn't service me, and why I should service you, and they become a bad girlfriend or bad boyfriend.
Oh, absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit more about teenagers, and all hypothetical, a child that the first 10 years or so the parents didn't really talk to, and all of a sudden you want to talk to them, and they don't want to listen to you. What can they do as a remediation when they're teenagers or just getting into the teenage years? What would you suggest the parents might do to try to repair the damage that had been done?
Right. The damage was so long, you know, since teenager. That means it's 10 years you don't talk to them in a nice way. So now
right.
They become teenager. They're bouncing all the things back, you know, back to you. When the children don't want to talking to them or don't want to listen to you, they basically already have a lot of protest. It's like so often, so long, too long a time, they did not really get the right communication. The reason they don't listen to you, actually because you never really listen to them. And I'm thinking this is what the parents should actually learn and face it. It's like if you don't listen to children, so reverse, they don't want to listen to you. It's very so bad sounds, about what. Yeah,
that sounds fair and sounds logical.
Fair. Yeah, it's fair, but it's difficult to face it, you know, especially
that's
for
right.
the parents that did not listen. And now all of a sudden you want a parent to listen. For example, like I see a lot of the mom talking to children, right? Only one way flow. Like you do what I say, but don't talk to me any rejection or anything you want me to do or, you know, anything I'm right or wrong. And I don't discuss with you, period. And when you do this with kids after a few years, when they grow up, the so-called teenager, they don't want to listen to you. And that was kind of too late. Now you want to tell them, don't go out with that friend, or, you know, you don't go out, you come home early or something. You're out of control because you already trained them to become spoiled kids to a certain degree because you supposed disciplining them and talking to them. But the mom itself didn't do it right. And parents itself didn't set a good example. Now children don't want to listen to you. So if you want to fix this, well, you need to come back to the, you know, original, you need to listen to them again. So you need to spend hours and hours talking to children. And that's the parents don't want to because they say, I'm so busy, I'm impossible, I'm so tired. I come home by work, and then because of money, because of mortgage, I just, you know, I need to sleep. So they don't talk to children. So then you cannot fix it. The only way to fix the children for them talking to you is by you really spend time to talking to them. And you need to pay attention. You need to give the intention of you want to talk to them. That's the only way. But you need to do this in the daily life or like a consistently from time to time. You don't do this once a year. It will, of course, not working, you know, because children will know next time you don't listen to them again. So they just decide not to listen to you. Basically, the trust is already not there. And then you cannot really have a communication.
You know, one thing, and I think it gets into that kind of a situation, bringing in a life empowerment coach or a therapist or counselor, or in extreme situations, there's residential therapeutic boarding schools that some kind of intervention like that would probably help the parents to maybe be as a third party and mediate. So when the parent talks, they can help the child decide, come to the conclusion, well, maybe they really want to talk to me. Let's give it a try. You know, so working it out that way. But it sounds like there needs a third party in there at that time.
Yeah. It's like, okay, you can use the professional and to helping and as a third party. Sure, you're working better than nothing, but still the trust between children and parents is not there. Then you still have to build up. And also, you use the third party. You cannot use the third party or the professional every day, right? So still,
right.
You need to have the communication line between you and your own children. You cannot, every time you want to talk to your children, something you call the professional and then to talk to the children, right? It's still, after all, it's your own children. It's your own baby. It's not other people's children. So it's very important for the parents to understand this type of point. You need to be educated as a parent. And that's why now I have a lot of program. I actually talking to the children, the married couple or the before married. I educate them. Before you have a children, you need to know how to communicate yourself, and you need to have a good relationship with your spouse. So in the future, your children will be better. Otherwise, you know, after you all grow old, and then, you know, it's too difficult to fix it. You know, it's like a tree grow already, you know, mm-hmm. tip over and then not straight. And you want to making them straight back. It's very difficult because they grow the tree that way 200 years. You know, it's like a very, very difficult. So I'm thinking it's very important. We can using this third party, and then we can use professional. But still, after all, parents themselves have to still. It's like a job. It's like a post. You need to know how to do it. You know, you eventually you cannot. For example, you work in the Burger King or you're working in the some Kentucky Fried Chicken. You cannot expecting your manager always do it for you. You see, you should know how to do your own job. So as a mother, as a father, there is a way of how to do a post called mother or called father. You need to know how to do this job very well. And that's
it's a hard job. There's one book that I read, the hardest job in the world, being a parent.
Yes, and you need to learn. You don't earn for free. You know, you don't just naturally know how to do it. You know, you don't naturally know how to be a father, be a mother. No, you learn to be one, and you want to be your one, and you have to really put your care there and the responsibility there. Then you'll be a good mom and good father. It's also not so difficult if you want to. So the most important is that you really care to do this post well, and you're going to be a good father and good mother.
Okay. So check number before, I was sort of the main thing. So the first thing is you got to talk to them, you got to listen, no secrets, and then you got to work at it being a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's talk about the relationship a little bit, because the relationship between the parents is very, very important and impacts the kids. So how do you not neglect your spouse while caring for your children in your career? Because I hear this complaint periodically, the husband's too busy working, or the wife's so busy with the kids that he doesn't get any attention. So how do you not neglect your spouse in this whole thing?
This is a lot of the husbands complain, actually, I ever heard, you know. It's like after have a children and the wife don't care about them.
It's she's too very, busy in very, the
dark. Yeah, it's happened in a lot of family, you know. And the very important thing is the scheduling. It's very important, like, you know, when we have this so-called schedule, the weekly, you know, you need to have this planning, like what do you do Monday, Tuesday, and every day, and what time, and you need to schedule out, and you always put into the time for your spouse. You know, it's a one schedule thing. It's like when do you eat breakfast, when do you eat lunch, when do you eat dinner. If you don't plan out, you almost no time to eat. You know, be honest, a lot of time people really skip the meal. They really don't plan, and then they don't eat. So it's like too bad, you know. A lot of people are like, oh, I'm so hungry, you know, I didn't have a breakfast, I didn't have a lunch. So what happened, you know? Well, you're busy, and then you forget. So it's very important you plan to these things. It's like I always say, you know, you don't plan to fail, but you fail to plan. See, you don't plan to, don't do it good, you know. But then when you don't plan to do it good, and then you don't schedule out the time, allocate the time to do these things, you actually will forget. You know how often we forget a breakfast? How often we forget a lunch? That's the same thing. So you forget your spouse. Some of mom forget a baby.
Well, we were talking earlier about the wives and the husband complaining. I saw a T-shirt. I saw it on the internet the other day. But it's the slogan is, I have a sleeping disorder. It's called children. They're very demanding, but they need it. And the point that I'm hearing you making is it's very important that you schedule in the time for that, and for the children, and for the spouse, and schedule in time for things that are important. Well, let's follow that through a little bit more. How do you create romance in your relationship and deepen it? Because without romance, it gets pretty boring, and it's pretty a rote marriage. And that's got to impact the kids.
Yeah, it's a very important about, you know, people keep going want to be have a more romantic, but then they are not create. You see, so you want a romance, but you have to create. So the important thing is create. So what is your ideal scene, like how romantic you want to be? You create towards that. It's like making a very good example, like a woman want to be pretty, you want to dress up. So you need to looking for the clothes, you need to make up, you need to checking the color, you need to see the fashion, you need to spend time to actually dress up. So to be pretty woman, you need to dress up, you spend time, you need to actually study, you need to shopping a little bit, you need to watch out about your body, you need to making these things go right. What my point is, it's ability. You need to create by, you need to actually study, and then you need to spend the time and energy to have this ability and wanting to do it. So you want to be pretty, you need to exercise, or you need to lose weight, or you need to watch what you eat to have a good body, and then you need to put a nice clothes, and you need to watch your fashion a little bit, you need to watch the color a little bit, and after you have a dress, you need looking about what kind of purse or what kind of shoes, you know, what kind of earring, that kind of a combination, and then do the right makeup according to your clothes and the color, that kind of sort of idea, right? So this type of a become pretty. It's the same thing like you create a romance. You want what kind of romance? You want the both feel in love and then cute and have a joking and, you know, go to movie or like do something, you know, you want to and you feel fun, or like when you was kid, whatever things, simple, maybe just a walk, maybe just take a walk under the moon and kiss each other. this type of a creation is to do with your ability, but then you need to have a willingness to do it. A lot of people just keep going using this excuse. I'm tired. Well, of course, you're boring because you're tired all the time. You need to fix it, right? So it's like a woman, you know, look ugly. Well, what happened? Well, you need to dress up. You need to try to making something for other people thinking you're pretty and look good, right? So when you create a romance, you need to actually plan, like, what we're going to do. You know, it looks like a very funny, like, oh, when I was young, it's just naturally romantic. It's not really true because people call you like, oh, we go for a picnic. You know, when the guy dating a woman, right? It's like, oh, no, do you want to go to a movie? You know, do you want to go to see something? That's good. That's good. One of the things, like, always go out a movie or do something. But the more important is what you want to talk to this person. So when you want to create this romance, very, very much important inside quality what you want to talk to them. You want to be joking and have fun, or you have the, you know, how are you going to show how much you love this person, or you want to give him something and talk to him something. I think this needs a little bit plain. Not just go out and then don't talk anything. You know, a lot of men, you know, go out dating with a woman, right? And then they all the time watch the movie and then they fall asleep. And then all the time in the restaurant, they are looking their iPhone. And then after that, it's worse, right? Because you get mad of the other person, like, well, what happened? So the key is when you have this dating, the time together, very important is your attention. Did you pay attention to the other person? Maybe you don't talk that much, but you look at her, you see? Or you look at the iPhone. So that's the problem.
Yeah, right.
So that is the thing.
Yeah, the man has, the father has a lot to do on that too. He's got to be thinking, planning interesting things that he wants to suggest and to pay attention. And I think you mentioned there earlier, leaving the iPhone at home would probably be a good idea.
Yeah. That's really good. One time I have one guy, I told him, you know, you don't watch your phone and then you leave the phone in the home, right? And then go out for a date. And that was the most romantic time his wife enjoyed. And then he come back, he said, wow, that's a good consultation, you know, I get with you, you know. It's like, you know, he just do that and then the marriage is saved.
Okay, well, that's a long checklist. We're just about out of time. It's a long checklist that you've mentioned, but it's important to talk to your kids, talk to your spouse. Actually, any kind of relationship, that's really the key thing. Listen, got to listen to the people, no secrets, be honest with them. You got to work at each aspect of it. And there's several things, the spouse, the kids, all of that. Now, we have about 2 or 3 minutes left, and could you explain to the audience a little bit of what it is you do, how to get a hold of you, for your seminars or the work that you do individually. Could you explain a little bit about your business or your work?
Oh, okay. I have the love seminar every other month in the LA, and that the seminar, you know, talking about this marriage, relationship, children, whatever question you want to ask. And to check out this, it's very easy to looking for me, called this the Matchmaker of the Century.com. You know, The Matchmaker of the Century is my book. It's the title of the book. You can buy in the Barnes & Noble. You can buy the ebook from Apple's, you know, everywhere, called The Matchmaker of the Century. And if you want to reach me, you just do thematchmakeroftheCentury.com, and you can see all my seminar and all my video, all my books, and all this, my DVD, my documentary film, and movies. It's all, every information is inside there. And for another one, I have one more call. Your love, your happiness.com. And this is for some other, you know, both language, English and Chinese. People can know more documentary and more other information around the different area. I do the seminar and talk, and also a lot of clips, a lot of my interview, my TV show. It's all inside this information, and I'm welcome for people to check it out.
Okay, well, you sound pretty busy, and so primarily what you do is your seminars and workshops, and then your writing, of course. So those are the main things, your main activities, as well as sitting in a plane going back and forth between Taiwan and or Asia and the Los Angeles, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is Lon Woodbury, Parent Choices for Struggling Teens. And I'm sorry we ran out of time. It's been very, very helpful, Helen. It's been Helen Chen, Matchmaker of the Century, is her latest book. And we've been talking about children of unbalanced marriages and what parents might do to help avoid problems, or if they get problems, what they might do to help them.